Sports cars such as Porsches and Ferraris, for example, are designed to drive 180 miles per hour on the German Autobahn. Why then is the manufacturer's biggest market in the United States, a country where the national average speed limit is generally between 55 and 70 miles per hour? What's more, while there might be open roads in the western and southwestern regions of the country where these cars could actually reach their intended speeds, the majority of these performance marvels are driven in urban areas where speeds are controlled not just by legal limits, but by such practical considerations as traffic and congestion. In 2010, TomTom, the Dutch company that produces navigation and mapping products, released its study of domestic American driving speeds based on data collected by its devices in the Speed Profiles program. The company discovered that despite the capability of today's cars, few Americans actually drive much faster than allowed. Autoblog reported it this way. The 2 years of data collection shows that overall, Americans tend to drive within the accepted limits of the law overall, but the average speed of your journey will typically be determined by where you're driving. Mississippi has the fastest roads on average, with typical speeds at just over 70 miles per hour, followed by New Mexico. The fastest single interstate is I-15 in Utah and Nevada, with speeds averaging 77.67 miles per hour. The biggest speed winners are in the middle of the country: Mississippi, Nebraska, Kansas, Iowa, Idaho, Alabama, and Missouri all exceeded an average of 67 miles per hour. Clearly, then, people are buying cars such as Chevrolet Corvettes and BMW M4s for reasons other than their high performance and top speeds. And it's not just that sports cars are selling to people who do not plan to drive them as their designers intended. Few four-wheel drive sports utility vehicles ever go off-road or do anything an old-fashioned station wagon couldn't do just as well. But they are still promoted and sold in ways that feature their four-wheel drive systems and off-road capability. While some of these vehicles may be used in icy, snowy winter conditions or on unpaved roads or even on off-road excursions, that still does not explain why thousands of off-road vehicles are sold in Sunbelt cities and areas where there is no need for their outsized capabilities. A 1996 survey conducted by J.D. Power & Associates found that 56% of all sport utility vehicles never even leave the pavement, and only 5% go off-road with any regularity. And while Jeep claims that 60% of Wrangler owners do go off-road, the industry average is considered to be less than 10%. What companies are selling and consumers are buying is not the actual ability to drive at triple-digit speeds or across mountains and deserts, but the aspiration to do so. Driving these overly capable vehicles is more about the image they bestow on their drivers than what they actually accomplish. In other words, you don't have to actually do these things, it's just good to know that you could. Before you laugh at your neighbor with the expensive Jaguar or Land Rover, realize these aspirational purchases are not limited to cars and trucks. Our Olympics-quality running shoes don't help us run any faster. Our state-of-the-art laptops don't make our prose any more profound. Our ceramic chef's knives don't cut our frozen pizzas any straighter. And our Eric Clapton limited edition vintage Fender Stratocaster electric guitars don't give our blues riffs any more feeling. Not only is product competence cost of entry, but, as we've seen, most consumers don't actually use all of the functional benefits of their purchases in the first place. Instead, we use these products to help assuage the discomfort brought on by our modern existence and by the specific myths that keep us from accomplishing our goals. Specifically, they are the myth of uniqueness and the myth of competency.